Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
It's another park date, and I am recording this intro at Hyde Park in the middle of Sydney. It's Sydney's answer to Central Park. And men playing giant chess and scariest birds you've ever seen. One walking up to me right now, I think it's called an ibex. They have very long beaks. My Aussie friends have told me that they call them bin chickens. The first time I saw them here, a good few years ago, I was quite impressed. I couldn't stop looking at them. I think it might be, is it like Norwegian National Day today? I think it might be. There are people waving Norwegian flags and dressed in Norwegian national costume. I'm here to introduce the episode which I recorded in Sydney a few days ago, and it was one of my favourite episodes that I've done for the entire of this season. I learned a lot from Timothy Gray, who I spoke to in another park in Sydney called Barangaroo Reserve. Timothy was telling me a lot about Aboriginal custom and culture. You're going to hear about that, so we won't go into it now, but I'll give you a little intro to Timothy. He is a Gumbangir Wiradjuri Bidjigal man from Maxville on the coast of New South Wales. Timothy is in a band called Green Hand Band. They play reggae, and Timothy is a writer and poet as well. He has a radio show in Sydney on Koori Radio, and he is a cultural ambassador and advisor, and also a tour guide and all around great guy. You're going to hear my chat with him in a minute, and if you enjoy it, as always, do leave a review, and remember to subscribe and to check out our socials and follow us on Park Date Podcast on Instagram and Twitter. And now we are going to go straight into an Australian adventure with me and Timothy. Welcome to Sydney for a very special episode. I'm here at Barangaroo Reserve. You see Sydney Harbour Bridge just over there, Sydney Harbour, blue waters in front of us in this beautiful park. I'm here with Tim Gray. Tim, thank you so much for joining me today in Barangaroo.
Thanks for having me.
No problem. And we were just saying, you were looking at the voice recorder, and you were saying that you might be using something like this for some kind of paranormal investigation. You do some ghost tours here as well.
We just started running ghost tours, which we call spirit tours.
Spirit tours.
Just in regards to the dream time and around our creator spirits and creatures that live in the bush. just from a First Nations perspective.
Yeah.
As opposed to, you know, those old pub ghost tours and things like that, where this is a little bit different.
Right.
More focused on Aboriginal spirituality.
Yeah. And you were saying that you wanted to get some equipment so you could maybe try and record record the sounds.
Yeah, just the sounds. Because I already know ghosts exist.
Yeah.
That's not what I'm doing. I do it because I like to see if I can catch something.
Yeah. Fantastic stuff. Obviously, the land that we're on now has a very, very long history. People don't realise the amount of history that's here today. This is very, very ancient ground.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Speak to me about this place, Tim, and about the importance and the history of this place, Barangaroo.
Well, in particular Barangaroo, because we're right around the corner from... Yeah. Right around the corner from, like, First Contact.
Yeah.
You know, when the British arrived here in 1788.
And where was that point?
Circular Quay.
Circular Quay, right.
It's,
right.
Which is the Aboriginal word for Circular Quay and the Sydney area is Wadan.
Yeah.
Which means scars on the back, because that was a Gadigal man's part of his ceremony to become a man. Three scars on the back and that tooth knocked out.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Glad I don't do that. Yeah. Well, I'm not Gadigal, but yes.
Yeah. So that point was in Circular Quay. So we're very near to that now, only maybe a kilometre or something, 500 metres.
We're very near to that, and also, and you know, this is named after Barangaroo, a Camaragal woman who was living here when the first fleet arrived, just on the other side of this beautiful harbour. And that's one of the main reasons why it's so significant, because the fact that she was living here, you know, fishing in the harbour, they were still living very traditionally, but they had been 65,000 years prior. And her seeing, you know, 11 ships coming in and what's going on here and checking them out and making sure that they're only visiting and not staying.
Yeah. unfortunately, it did stay.
Yeah, once she realised that...
It created a lot of problems.
Yeah, once she realised that, that's why she's known as our first resistance warrior as well, because she was, like, constantly telling them to leave. You know, thanks for visiting, but can you leave now, please?
Yeah. You
know? She was known to the British for only 3 years. 1791, she passed away, and unfortunately due to smallpox, which was brought over by the First Fleet. But, and you know, that's one aspect of why this area is so important, you know, that first contact. But another reason why, as you can still see, you know, with all the buildings and cement now, it's still a beautiful harbour.
Yeah.
It's still got aspects of nature.
Yeah, you can see across there. It's very, very green just in front of us.
Yeah, especially on the north and east side.
The North Shore is very green, isn't it?
Very green.
Yeah.
There's a lot less cement over there.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So lots and lots of history here.
Yeah.
But obviously lots of things have happened in the meantime. I remember my first visit to Sydney.
Yeah.
There's seaplane going over now as well, which is
safe. Seaplane.
Don't see many of those anymore.
No, that goes from leaves from Rose Bay.
From Rose Bay, and then it
Sydney Harbour's
here,
largest bay. Yeah.
Wow, very, very unusual sight flying over. But yeah, I remember that the first time I came here, this whole area was kind of a docks, right, like a port.
Yeah,
I remember
like
running past along Hickson Road.
Yeah.
And there was just this kind of abandoned
container
shipping wharf, right. And then this park is on kind of part of that old port area, right?
Yeah, it was a redesign. It's been redesigned. Mm. The shoreline was redesigned to its original shoreline aspect from old you know, maps from around First Contact.
And yeah.
The English sort of like mapping out and taking, you know, doing paintings of the area. Yeah. And it was a design competition, this reserve, Barangaroo Reserve, and that's why Lendlease won the design competition, because the aspect of the headland being back and like that original shoreline shape as well.
Yeah.
And that's what gave them the win.
So they were trying, with this park, they were trying to create a sense of how it was before the port of Sydney was kind of developed.
Yeah, and also even the name was a naming competition, and because the name of Barangaroo won, obviously, you know, you wanted to add that First Nations story as well. Because the other thing that that's important about this area too is because we're doing Aboriginal culture tours here, we're actually in line with the school curriculum from stage one to stage six, and so we're actually telling the history of First Contact, from you know, not just from the colonisation point of view, not just from the, you know, Captain Cook. Mm. I grew up just hearing about and learning about Cook and Phillip, and not much Aboriginal history, which is now in the last decade or so starting to change.
Yeah, so now in Australian schools, kids would learn more about Aboriginal history and that time before. Yeah. I guess in the past, the history books just started in the 1700s. 1788, nothing happened. Nothing happened before that.
No, nothing happened.
The idea of Well, I remember going to the Library of New South Wales, and you see that map of Australia, which says Terra Nullius in the map, which is obviously ridiculous because it wasn't that at all. There was thousands of people living all around around the country.
Yeah, that was Cook, and that's what, you know, we've got reconciliation coming up, and that's what that's about.
Yeah,
you know, the Mabo decision, which overturned Terra Nullius. I mean, reconciliation was around long before that, but the Mabo decision, just proving that, you know, from up his area in Mur, which is one of the islands in Torres Strait, just having that, showing proof that, you know, Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people were still utilising the land traditionally.
Yeah.
And thankfully got overturned, that Terra Nullius.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. And so you're running, Tim, you run Aboriginal culture tours of Barangaroo. Yeah. So people come here and you guide them around, you teach them about the history of this place and what it means to you personally, right?
Yeah, and it's also, we've got 75,000 plants, trees and shrubs here.
Yeah.
So it's more about how the Aboriginal people used.
Right, right.
Used these trees and flora for medicine, for food, for shelter. I mean, you can still use them to this day.
Yeah.
If you know where to look.
Are there any examples that we're walking past of plants that you recognise that are useful for?
Yeah, the mandra here.
Mandra.
This is made for... the seeds from this were, each had two grains inside each seed that were crushed up and made into flatbread.
Oh, wow. And also, so you can make sort of a... You can make a bread from these?
Yeah, a flatbread because we didn't have yeast until the English came.
These kind of like dry seeds on long stalks.
And then these leaves were stripped, torn into strips and used as weaving, for weaving,
Oh, wow. So what, you can make clothes from...
No, like from baskets and...
Baskets.
Carrying vessels and things like that,
Oh, right.
So that's the mandra.
So that's kind of just a small example of the way that the land and the plants would be used, but in a sustainable way, right?
That's
right. It wasn't just like strip everything back. It was...
No, no.
This is something useful, but we're only going to take what we need, right?
That's right.
Yeah.
And that's the difference between law, L-A-W, and Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander law, or Indigenous law, which is L-O-R-E.
Yeah.
The difference in the two laws is L-A-W, humans govern whatever, everything. L-O-R-E law is that we are dictated by the land, not the other way around.
Yeah.
So whatever the land's doing, we just go with that.
Yeah.
We don't try and change it.
Yeah.
And like you said, we don't take too much.
Yeah.
Whereas now, obviously with... We've, through since the Industrial Revolution, we've dug ourselves into a climate change
emergency. Which we need to sort out very, very quickly.
Yeah. And we have the technology to do it. Yeah. We've just got to do it.
Yeah, exactly. But I find it quite interesting how we're kind of interested in those ideas again of sustainability and being in touch with nature. And these are things that your ancestors knew very well thousands of years ago. It's like we're having to relearn those lessons, right?
That's right, yeah. And it's not, you know, we always say that we're the caretakers of the land. Mm. We don't own the land. When you hear people protest, they say, we own the land. No, that's not true. No one owns the land.
Yeah.
And we're all meant to be caretakers, not just Indigenous people, everyone.
Yeah.
Supposed to take care of the land as much as we can. I know in the capitalist world it's a bit harder.
Yeah.
Because a lot of things that we use and have are, you know, things from out of the ground.
Yeah.
But...
You're holding your phone too. Yeah.
There's a bit of oil and stuff that makes just that little phone.
Yeah.
But, you know, we can change it. We can reverse it.
Yeah. Exactly. And maybe one of the ways that we can sort of make a start on that is by greening areas, by kind of having these parks and stuff.
Do you think...
Were you quite happy when you saw Barangaroo Reserve open?
Was this... because I can imagine some developers just would have wanted to, you know, put all buildings and apartments and nice resorts here and stuff.
Yeah.
Thanks to visionaries like Paul Keating, former Prime Minister of Australia. We got a public park, a reserve. And to add to that, with the First Nations story.
Yeah.
The of history, like the two histories coming together. It was right here in Circular Quay.
And this morning, I met you for the first time this morning.
Yeah.
And the reason was that we were very, very, very kindly invited to this Welcome to Country ceremony. It's a ceremony that I'd never seen before, where there was dancing and there was a sort of flame and smoke. There was a kangaroo dance, wasn't there?
Yeah, kangaroo dance.
Yeah, some different kinds of dancing. And
Torres Strait Islanders.
Torres Strait Islanders, yeah. And that kind of acknowledgement of the history of the land and everything that went with it.
And the two First Nations people.
Aboriginal
and Torres Strait Islanders.
Exactly, yeah. The two First Nations people doing those dances and those tours. I found it very, very powerful moment, and not something I've seen before. I've been to Australia a lot and I've not seen that, and I feel like it's a story that I think a lot of people would be very interested to hear, and maybe we're getting a chance to tell that more.
And I think also, especially coming from overseas, a lot of people see ads about, you know, Northern Territory and places like that where it's really remote.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Spring is my favorite time to start a new workout routine. With the weather warming up, it feels easier to get into the rhythm of things. Whether you have 20 minutes or an hour for a Pilates class or outdoor guided walk, Peloton has everything you need to help you get going. Get a head start on summer with Peloton at onepeloton.com.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
But what's good about, you're right next to the Australia's largest CBD in the middle of Sydney, and you've got traditional cultural practices still going on here.
Yeah, and there were, you know, people were sort of gathering round. I saw, you know, walkers workers. Everyone was looking at the ceremony with great interest. And I think people are interested in that. But yeah, it's a very beautiful park as well, isn't it? Is it a place that you like to come and sort of hang out or have your lunch or?
Yeah, I don't mind that. Sometimes I'll come and meditate.
Really?
Obviously, you can see a lot of joggers. Some people come. We've even had a couple of weddings.
Really? That would be a beautiful place for a wedding, wouldn't it?
A couple of weddings. We've got a big art exhibition in the cutaway.
Yeah. Yeah, art is very big here, isn't it? I remember Sydney Festival a few years ago, there was a big letter spelling out a word.
Always.
That was it. Always, exactly. I thought
as it like always was, always will be.
Yeah, and that was a very kind of potent symbol of what this place means as well, wasn't it? Yeah.
It was a very like
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, so there's lots of different aspects to this.
And that, when we say things like always was, always will be Aboriginal land. It's not about that it's our land and not yours. What it's about is just wanting the general public to just acknowledge.
Yeah.
And because we hadn't been taught the history in schools,
yeah.
Just acknowledge the history. That's all we really want. We don't want to take people's houses and get their land back like that. It's just about coming together. Sort of like a reconciliation process, I guess. But but having that understanding as well.
Yeah.
And I think seeing dances like you saw this morning sort of break through all those sort of like misconceptions and things people might have about Aboriginal people.
Yeah, yeah. I think you're right. It's important, isn't it, to see all the various aspects of the culture and everything. Yeah,
yeah.
Exactly. You don't live near here though. Do you live in Redfern?
I live
in
Redfern.
Right?
Yeah.
There's like a park in Redfern, isn't there as well? Do you ever go to that park in Redfern?
Yeah. There's a park there, Redfern Park.
Redfern Park.
It's also got the Oval there, which is famous in South Sydney.
Yeah.
Rabbitohs, the oldest rugby league club.
Yeah.
in Australia.
Yeah.
It's got all that, and plus, but Redfern's more important, I guess, around as far as Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people are concerned. All our services started in and around Redfern, like Aboriginal Legal Aid, Aboriginal Medical Centre, things like that.
And a lot of Aboriginal people live around Redfern, don't they?
Yeah. Still got a fairly strong Aboriginal community.
There's a big community, isn't there? I remember going to, is it called The Block?
The Block,
when I've been to Sydney before and looking around, and there's lots of interesting art and graffiti in that area.
And then The Block's been all redone.
Yeah.
And Aboriginal housing has put all new houses and complexes there. Still The Block.
Yeah.
But it's just been upgraded and cleaned up and it's looking pretty good, actually.
Yeah. I'll have to go and check it out again.
Yeah.
And you've got a little sideline, haven't you, Tim, doing music?
Yeah, I've got a reggae band.
You've got a reggae band, yeah. Have you ever performed in Barangaroo? Maybe you should do a concert.
No. That'd be a conflict of interest. But I'd love to play here.
Yeah.
We play in and around Sydney.
Yeah.
A lot of NAIDOC events, Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander events.
Yeah.
We're playing at the Cammeraygal Festival in a couple of weeks' time, which is Cammeraygal, that's Barangaroo's tribe.
Yeah.
So that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
And I like to, if I could be a muso full time, I probably would.
Yeah.
But I mean, this job here, I love this job.
Yeah.
You know, get to talk about culture, and even though it's not my tribal area, I can still share that cultural knowledge with people.
Yeah.
And it's just about what happened. First contact.
I was going to ask you about something. The Stargazer Lawn.
Yeah.
And that's. I was always quite interested in the name of that, but I've never looked at the history of that. What's the story of the Stargazer Lawn here?
Well, the Stargazer Lawn is. This park's open 24 hours a day.
Yeah.
So you can come and gaze at the stars. Yeah. Also, when you're up there, you can see the observatory tower.
Oh.
Observatory Hill.
Yeah.
And also, there's a fish in the harbour called the Stargazer Fish.
Right.
Which is called Stargazer Fish because it lives at the bottom.
Yeah.
It's a bottom dweller. And it's always got eyes on the top of its head, so it's always looking up.
Ah, right.
Stargazer.
Stargazer Fish.
Yeah.
Fantastic. But yeah, the park's kind of split into some different areas, isn't there?
We've got Woolooka Walk here, which means yellow-striped kingfish.
Oh, right. This is the one we're on at the moment, though.
Woolooka
Walk. Yeah. Yeah.
Most of the sandstone's from here.
Hmm.
Adding to that sustainability aspect.
Yeah, and this is really the colour of the sandstone, the kind of buttery colour is what you see in a lot of the Sydney buildings from...
That's
From
the old colonial days.
Yeah, colonial buildings. They're all this colour, aren't they? They're very...
No, that's right.
Very easy to notice.
Yeah.
But also it's... You know, it's a very, very beautiful place, but it's also kind of surrounded by work in progress, isn't it? We can see there's a building site over here, which I think, isn't this to do with the metro?
That's Barangaroo Central, so there's more parkland coming.
There's going to be some more park over here,
Yeah, and then you've got the train station going in the corner.
Yeah, so there'll be a new metro, won't there, linking Barangaroo to everywhere.
Yeah, and some low-rise housing there.
Yeah, and then you can see, now we can see the skyscrapers of Sydney and the new... buildings in Barangaroo, very, very corporate.
Well, that was the idea of the whole precinct, was 50% private, 50% public.
Yeah.
And obviously, this part's better.
Yeah.
That's now our tallest building, Crown.
Is that the tallest building in Sydney?
Well, Centre Point's not close to the building.
Yeah.
Otherwise, Centre Point is taller.
Yeah.
But it's a tower, it's not a building. So
yeah.
But it's some technicalities.
Yeah.
But those spirit tours that we do, that plant behind you there,
let's look at this, yeah. What's this one called?
Banksia.
Banksia.
One of our Banksias. We've got about five. This is the Ceratifolia, so it's the serrated leaves.
Yeah, quite sharp
leaves.
Sharp.
Yeah. But one of these Banksias is called the hairpin Banksia. And that's important because the hairpin Banksia is Wattangudi, which means it's a type of hairy man. Like it's a creature from our spirituality. The little guy.
Yeah.
We've also, and this is what we talk about on our spiritual tours, also talk about our version of Bigfoot.
Talk to me about that.
So
that sounds terrifying, but I want to know.
We call them Yowies.
Yowies, yeah.
They live out, they don't live in Sydney because it's all cement and cleared land. They all live
in the outback.
There's bush areas. Yeah. Well, not outback, you don't have to go far.
Oh, right, yeah.
To see one. Blue Mountains.
Right.
But yeah, they're all around. And that's what we talk about on our spirit tours. Talk about dreaming stories. The creator spirit here, which is Bayami, which is also my Wiradjuri spirit god, creator being. We talk about that. We talk about share some dreaming stories, and we also get people that come to do our spirit tours to share any experience they have with any type of ghosts. Because we also believe that, some of us believe that our ancestors come back as animals or trees or things. That's what we talk about in our spirit tours. Yeah, we do talk about ghosts and those creatures. It's a little bit spooky, but mostly just about our spiritual.
Yeah.
Because the spiritual aspect of our culture is like the wet part of the ocean.
It's
pretty much all of it.
And this is what I find really, really interesting about Aboriginal culture. There's a kind of... By the way, stop me if I'm saying any of this wrong, but it's the idea, right, that kind of everything's linked, isn't it? There's this, it's not just the land isn't just the land. It's more meaningful than that. And the trees have a meaning and they have a spirit and people and animals and the land and everything are kind of all linked in this like more complex world. And then in the dream world as well, right?
That's right.
Yeah.
It's all connected. Everything's connected.
Everything's connected. I think that's a really interesting way of kind of putting the world together.
Yeah.
But the dream world especially then kind of bleeds into the physical world, doesn't it?
Does,
this kind of like...
There's no separation.
There's no separation, is there? Yeah. So dreaming is really, really important for Aboriginal culture, yeah.
Yeah, for us passing on knowledge and sharing those creation stories. How things came about, how things work.
Yeah.
It's all part of that, yeah.
It's all kind of linked together, isn't it?
Yeah.
And I think, this is kind of a great place for people to begin to learn about that, isn't it? Because maybe they've had no experience of those viewpoints, and maybe they can see things here that might educate them quite
a lot. That's right,
Yeah. It's a very, very interesting place. And do you remember when you were young, Tim, did you go to any other parks when you were a young Scally? Were you sort of hanging out in other parks in Sydney?
Not really. Royal National Park we'd go to every now and then, and the Blue Mountains, but it's just so good to have something like this in the middle of the city.
Definitely. Are you one of those people that likes to be outdoors as well?
Yeah, I do,
Yeah.
Well, I'm not playing the PlayStation.
that's one thing you can't do outside, can
you? That's right, no.
No, it's not possible. Yeah. Not possible to do that.
Yeah.
And so what are the future plans? You mentioned there's going to be another park. Are you sort of involved with that? What's going to happen there?
No, it's a park for the public, but also for an amphitheatre for music and stuff like that.
Right. Well, another opportunity
for you
to get your get your band together for a tour.
That'd be great.
Yeah, amazing. And do you have do you have days when you sort of bring the family down here or anything like that? Do you have kind of cookouts or any of those kind of things?
Well, a lot of people do.
Yeah.
My family is mostly all in the bush, so when they do come, I try to bring them here. It's a good place to come and just sit.
Yeah. Yeah, you mentioned meditating, didn't you? Do you think it's a good place to do
absolutely,
that?
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah.
It's one of the best places. Right on the harbour as well.
Yeah.
And even us in the city, you might get a bit of noise. It's not that bad.
Yeah.
Especially at night, it's not much noise at all. Apart from the odd ferry going past. And things like that.
Yeah, it can make for quite a quiet kind of place where you can contemplate different things.
That's right.
Yeah, amazing. Yeah. Great stuff. Well, I'm going to go and look around some more. But yep. Tim, I really appreciate your time. Thank you for talking to me. Thank you for taking me around Barangaroo and on the Woolagul Walk. Is that right?
That's right. Well done.
I'll try. I love these Aboriginal words. They're brilliant, but they're very hard to say sometimes, aren't they?
No, that's right.
I'm trying to.
That's what I said. Well done.
Yeah, trying to pronounce them.
And you got Ngawi Cove there.
Ngawi Cove. Yeah, this
Barkanoo.
Yeah. Yeah, this kind of cove in front
quite
of us. It is low tide, isn't it? It looks. Might have to go for a swim later, but.
Well, maybe the bull sharks might change your mind.
Do you know? I heard the first time I came to Oz, I jumped in a river, and the Australian people said, "Don't do that." No. And it was a stupid British thing to do.
I mean, it's still a low percentage.
Yeah.
No,
it's not good. Not good. Well, I'll listen to you.
Thanks, mate.
You're a man that knows. Tim, thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
Thanks a lot. I hope you enjoyed that episode of Park Date. There's lots more where that came from, and there'll be more in the future as well. If you enjoyed it, please leave a review, good or bad. Make them funny. I'll be reading out the best ones, and there'll be a prize for the one that makes me laugh the most. Name check some trees in your reviews and leave them wherever you get your podcasts from. Check out our website, parkdate.co.uk. And if you see me walking around in a park, come and say hello. I think that was the sound of someone sneezing. Yes. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.